Good morning. I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up, we'll hear from the state epidemiologist and the state's chief medical officer about some of their concerns as we face a continued rise in COVID cases here in Colorado. And the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments this morning in a case challenging the Affordable Care Act. A Colorado health advocate tells us that if the case succeeds, health insurance for thousands of Coloradans is in jeopardy. We'll also hear the KGNU comment line, listener feedback on station programming, check in with the BBC again at 8:30, and then How on Earth, the KGNU science show, today looking at regenerative solutions for damaged landscapes. Alan Watts at 9, diverse music at 9:30 on the Morning Sound Alternative. Thanks for choosing community radio this morning. Checking some state and local headlines, Governor Polis is extending the mandatory mask order for another 30 days. In a statement issued Monday, the governor said again that wearing a mask is a scientifically proven way to slow the spread of the COVID-19 virus. The rule requires every person age 11 and up to cover their nose and mouth when entering and moving within a public indoor space. A mask is also required when waiting for and when using public transportation and transportation services like taxis and rideshares. Many Colorado counties, including most in the metro area, have implemented stricter mask requirements, including outdoors when within 6 feet of another person. Polis also announced Monday that all state employees will work remotely through the end of November if they are in counties with high levels of the virus. And Polis said Monday that Colorado could receive up to 200,000 doses of a new vaccine by the end of the year. Pharmaceutical company Pfizer announced Monday that their new vaccine was 90% effective in preventing COVID-19, but as you heard on Democracy Now!, that announcement was based on interim testing results, and more testing is required. The vaccine does not yet have FDA approval. The rise in COVID cases in Metro Denver has one large school district moving to all remote learning. Adams 12 will move to all remote learning on November 16th. The district includes Thornton, North Glen, and parts of Broomfield and Westminster. Adams 12 was already remote learning for grades 6 through 12, but they're now eliminating in-person learning for younger grades as well due to the rise in COVID. Boulder Valley and St. Vrain school districts continue to offer a mix of remote and in-person classes, but several individual schools have moved to remote only in response to COVID outbreaks. The latest school in the BVSD is Monarch High in Louisville, which will move to all remote learning today. Boulder High and Eisenhower Elementary moved to remote learning in late October, and Manhattan Middle School went all remote last Wednesday. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 are at a record high in Boulder County, and overall case levels may put the county under a stay-at-home order. County health officials said Monday that in the past 14 days, the COVID case rate was 458 cases per 100,000 people. That puts Boulder County in the red zone under state guidelines and qualifies for moving to tighter stay-at-home restrictions. But that is only one of the measurements the state uses when determining the level of restriction. Boulder County health officials are expected to meet with the state to discuss a mitigation plan. And the Boulder City Council will take on the issue of police oversight at their meeting this evening. Steve Miller reports.
Boulder City Council today will decide whether to accept revisions to its police oversight ordinance and move forward with forming a panel assigned to the oversight of the Boulder Police Department. The Daily Camera reports that the city has been working on an oversight ordinance since a March 2019 altercation between a black Naropa University student was confronted by Boulder police with one officer pulling a gun on him. Since then, the city council started a task force to look at different models for police oversight boards and later adopted an ordinance that established a hybrid auditor and monitor model with a police oversight panel. If the council decides to proceed with the ordinance, the police oversight panel will have 9 members with 3 alternatives. Applications will then be available with interviews and selection happening in December and begin its work in early 2021. The proposed ordinance says the selection committee will aim to include people of color, preference to individuals who are multilingual, and will strive to include a person with a disability, a person who is now or has experienced homelessness, a person identifying as LGBTQ+, and a person who has experienced incarceration. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Sunny and breezy today with a high around 40 in the metro area, overnight lows near 20 degrees. Sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-40s. It's 11 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you're in tune with listener-supported KGNU. COVID-19 cases continue to rise in Colorado. Many counties have enacted stricter regulations on socializing and business occupancy. State health officials are grappling with a number of issues related to the pandemic. The number of positive COVID cases in Colorado has doubled since mid-October. Testing data is a key driver of the decisions state and county officials make about the level of restrictions. State epidemiologist Dr. Rachel Herlihy says the increase in COVID cases is not the result of increased testing, and she urges any Coloradans with COVID symptoms to get tested.
Testing is a key strategy for controlling this virus, and we really want people to take advantage of the more than 50 community testing sites that exist around the state right now.
One concern is whether or not the testing can keep up with the rise in cases. Colorado is set to receive 1.7 million rapid tests to help increase testing and decrease the time it takes to get the results. This type of test can return a result in 15 minutes, but it's not as accurate as other tests that take longer. Meanwhile, hospitals still have capacity, but they are filling up. Dr. Eric Franz is Chief Medical Officer for the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment, or CDPHE. He says it's important to remember that COVID is not the only reason people end up in the hospital.
The capacity of the hospital, of course, is driven by COVID. It's also driven by an acute appendicitis, a car wreck that requires trauma care, a heart attack, or a stroke. And the hospitals are quite full these days from a mixture of both COVID and traditional acute care needs. As a matter of fact, we should all be worried that when hospitals are filled with COVID, that means I may be at risk even if I'm staying at home because I may have a heart attack or I may have a car accident that requires hospitalization and the hospital might be near full. There may be delays in care. So we're all impacted by full hospitals, whether or not we have COVID or not. We've worked closely with the Colorado Hospital Association this last year. The hospitals are very good at being able to monitor their capacities and potentially delay certain kinds of surgical procedures when possible if they need to keep beds open. And that close relationship means that they'll continue to monitor and manage patients so that we aren't overwhelmed in the short term. It's the weeks more around Thanksgiving and beyond where now we're starting to be potentially concerned that COVID cases, plus our traditional hospitalizations, may overwhelm our staff and our beds.
That's CDPHE Chief Medical Officer Eric Franz. He says that if possible, Colorado hospitals also want to help hospitals in neighboring states.
I'd say it's certainly a factor. We've already, over the last weeks, been asked to help with hospitals in Montana where their rates have been quite high. Sometimes it's a question of PPE, personal protective equipment. Could we share with them material? I'm not aware of a large number of patients transferred to Colorado at this time, though you can imagine in our surrounding states, they're somewhat less populated, that fewer hospitals overall, and they may look to a state like Colorado for help in the near future.
State health officials also expressed serious concern that Coloradans will get together with more people and be less disciplined about social distancing during Thanksgiving and Christmas. State epidemiologist Rachel Herlihy.
That's a scenario where we've seen increased disease transmission with other holidays, specifically with the 4th of July and Labor Day. We did see increased transmission that occurred around the holidays. And so I think that is going to be a really important strategy over the next couple of months is limiting the number of individuals that are gathering together and the number of households that are mixing with each other, knowing that socialization is really, I think, a driver of disease transmission.
The state maintains what they call a COVID-19 dial dashboard. It has county-by-county information on COVID cases and on the current level of restrictions for each county, in English and in Spanish. You can find that and other COVID info at covid19.colorado.gov, and we have a link to that on the KGNU website. You're in tune to listener-supported community radio. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments today in another case involving the Affordable Care Act, or ACA. That's the legislation passed under President Obama that helped extend health insurance to millions of Americans, including many with pre-existing conditions. The ACA survived a previous high court challenge 8 years ago by a 5-4 vote. This new case, Texas versus Azar, makes different legal arguments, and the makeup of the court is different. In particular, conservative Amy Coney Barrett was just appointed to replace the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Coney Barrett criticized the previous ACA ruling. Colorado advocates for the ACA say that if the plaintiffs prevail, thousands of state residents will be at serious risk of losing their health insurance. We spoke with Adam Fox. He's deputy director of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, a nonprofit and nonpartisan advocacy group that works on healthcare equity and affordability. Adam Fox, welcome to KGNU.
Thank you for having me.
This particular case, not the first challenge to the Affordable Care Act to reach the high court, but this one, Texas versus Azar, was brought by the state of Texas and 19 other states with Republican governors, backed by the Trump administration. What is specifically is at issue here in Texas versus Azar?
Essentially, what this case is arguing is, since the individual mandate penalty was essentially zeroed out in the 2017 Republican tax bill, that it essentially invalidates the constitutionality of the individual mandate altogether. And they're arguing that essentially the Affordable Care Act should be struck down because of that. So you're essentially talking about a 900-plus page bill being knocked down by a few minor components of it being tweaked.
How would this impact Coloradans?
This would be incredibly devastating. If the ACA is repealed, it would mean that some 600,000 Coloradans would lose access to affordable coverage through expanded Medicaid coverage, as well as our individual marketplace, Connect for Health Colorado, where they can receive financial assistance. All of that is at risk in this case. And what that would mean in the current environment in a pandemic is that there would be that many more people who cannot afford to seek care when we want everybody to be able to get the care they need.
Supporters of the Trump administration's position on this, who don't like the Affordable Care Act, feel like there are free market solutions. And if this was struck down by the high court, people would be able to find health care in other ways. What's your response to them?
The whole reason we have the Affordable Care Act is because the free market failed. It failed to provide affordable coverage for everybody. And for essentially the people who had any semblance of a health condition, they were locked out of health coverage either from price or being denied altogether. So that's what the free market looks like when you're talking about health insurance.
There's a lot of speculation that with the addition of Amy Coney Barrett to the court, who has she has been highly critical of the ACA, and court observers feel like that could be a death knell for the ACA, that there is a majority of justices who will rule in favor in this case. What's your perspective?
It is very concerning to us because she has written opinions about sort of some of the prior ACA cases that indicate she thinks those rulings were not correct for one reason or another. And now with the solid conservative majority of the court, there's a real risk that this case, which was essentially manufactured, is successful and could strip coverage from 20 million Americans.
20 million Americans, 600,000 Coloradans. What can you tell us about how the Affordable Care Act has reduced some of the inequities that were present in the healthcare system?
The ACA has really been crucial to advancing health equity in a variety of ways. First and foremost, it's reduced our uninsured rate down to the lowest it has ever been. At least pre-COVID, Colorado was sitting at about 6.5% uninsured when it had been at around 14 or 15%, depending on the metric you were using. And it's also served to really boost the level of coverage and help communities of color who had a disproportionately high rate of uninsured prior to the ACA. It's really helped those communities get access to coverage and care.
And this this case, of course, will be heard in the midst of the open enrollment period. Coloradans who are looking for health insurance can enroll via Connect for Health Colorado by mid-January, right?
Yes, that's right. So that makes the timing of this even more scary in some ways, because I think there's the potential for confusion by Coloradans who may put off enrolling, and that is what we are encouraging them exactly not to do. Open enrollment is from November 1st to January 15th, and this is really the best opportunity to choose a plan that makes sense and see if you qualify for financial assistance to lower your premiums, lower your copays and deductibles. And all of that is through Connect for Health Colorado. But ultimately, we don't expect a ruling in this court case probably until late spring. And so it's unlikely that the coverage that people are enrolling in right now will be immediately affected.
Yeah, a ruling in late spring, if the ruling goes for the state of Texas, well, how soon could folks be impacted here in Colorado and around the country?
We don't know exactly. A lot of that depends on the Supreme Court and how they decide to rule. And whether they essentially decide whether, yes, the mandate is now unconstitutional, but if they decide it's severable, essentially that it can be separated from the rest of the law or most of the rest of the law, then some of the ACA could remain intact. And there's also the potential that the court could essentially delay the sort of effective date of their decision so that people's coverage doesn't get cut out from under them all of a sudden, because I think that in general, the courts try to avoid very immediate impacts like that.
Adam Fox, thanks for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Adam Fox is Deputy Director of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative. Up next, it's time for the comment line. Listeners respond to what they hear on KGNU.
It may be that the government could push religion down your throat, but it's not that way anymore. We got freedom of, so we don't need to be told that we got to kowtow to the government's wishes, whichever way they choose to bend the Bible to make us do their bidding. And Roe v. Wade, freedom of religion, freedom from religion. Roe v. Wade's a done deal. You can't mess with it. It's law. Have a good day. Bye.
Yes, hello. This is Kelvin the K-Man. I've been formulating this thought for a while. I wanted to see how I was going to phrase it. So, well, of course, I like to base it on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Good, Dr. Martin Luther King, statement that we be judged not by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Bad, Black Lives Matter, abandoning Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s importance of good conduct. And ugly, condoning rioting and bad behavior in its community and anywhere. Good, Electrical College. Bad, popular vote only. Ugly, Colorado pass and popular vote, only making our vote even less important. Good. The majority of great police officers, mostly in Denver area, metropolitan area, we applaud bad solutions and others condoning putrid behavior of cops like the Roar cops with Elijah McCoy and August incident of cops handcuffing mom and her children, also in the Roar, and ugly, very ugly, defunding the police. Good. The Senate stopping the House political coup and attempts against the presidency. Bad. The House impeachment attempt. Ugly. Marxism in action against America. Good. The Denver Broncos. Bad. The Oakland LA Raiders. Of course, many Bronco fans will agree with that. And very ugly. Watching K-Man, myself, and all-you-can-eat eating frenzy. Well, thank you very much. And
Hi, my name is Jack in Denver. I appreciate your morning programs, especially Democracy Now! And the BBC. However, you have a program coming out of New York, some kind of community radio there at 5:30 in the morning. And I was listening here on Wednesday, the day after the election. And these guys that are talking there seem to be totally disconnected from reality. They are talking about, you know, anecdotal situations about somebody in Philadelphia getting two absentee ballots when they hadn't requested any, and putting in doubt the whole question of the absentee voting in Philadelphia. Also, they're coming out with some pretty wild ideas about Trump, somehow that the CIA wanted to get rid of him and things like that. A guy, his name is Don something, and he interviewed some supposed radical sociologist on the air this morning. Today is the 4th of November, the day after the election. So somebody should listen to this guy on 5:30 in the morning. You know, I know that's very early, but then putting out some pretty, pretty questionable information there. All right, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your calls to the KGNU comment line. The number is 303-447-9911, 303-447-9911. It's a voicemail. You call anytime and leave your comment. We play them back over the air during the Tuesday Morning Magazine here at listener-supported KGNU.